afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. We'll continue on today with Senate Bill 5510 and the Subcommittee on Transportation and Economic Development with Robin Lamont from Legislative Fiscal Office and Suki Wartha, the Committee Administrator, Assistant. We're continuing on. We'll turn some time to Robin Lamont.
Mr. Chair, members, when we were in here yesterday, we had, I believe, completed the crosswalk for the Program Services Division, and I think we had one more budget package to discuss, which would be under your yellow tab at page 25, and if Mr. Scott and Lisa Pearson could finish up with that.
Mr. Chair, the final program option package that we haven't specifically discussed is package 102, which is the staff positions associated, seven positions associated with the increased infrastructure financing if the program option package, I think it's 201, is approved. And essentially, the purpose of these positions is that if we get the $196 million in increased capitalization of our infrastructure funds that's proposed in the governor's recommended budget, we will be, for the next three biennia, having an increased number and dollar amount of projects that we will be financing. And in order to keep up with it, according to our estimates, this is the number of additional positions that would be required. I think, Mr. Chair, that I previously had suggested to you that if you wanted to make those limited duration, although we will need them for more than one biennium, that would be, we do not expect to need that many positions on a permanent basis, and our long-term projections here assume essentially no inflation in our administrative costs, which we think we would have to achieve by reducing the number of positions over time.
Well, these could be limited duration.
These could be limited duration, correct.
And again, getting back to package 101, the question that I had yesterday, and I think we were there when I had to leave, and that was that right now you're administering something in the vicinity of $30+ million in package 101 with a total of 7.5 FTE, and if I divide the $196 million up into the three packages, 3 years, or three biennia, is that right? Or you said three biennia?
Mr. Chair, we've given you a schedule previously that shows you the totals, but according to what we've shown you before, the last two biennia, we each put on the street about $50 million per biennium in projects. The current biennium is $135 million. 2001-2003, we're projecting $182 million, and then in 2003-2005, $209 million, and in 2005-2007, $178 million. Then it comes back down again to where it is now. So that's the rationale for this package. There's no other questions on that. I can go on past, be declare us finished with the program services and move on to the film and video office.
All right.
Mr. Chairman, I'm sorry. I'm a little late. I was next door. So what was the answer to my question? You wanted to add one person to the program services. Is that your option? Let's see. Program option to increase one FTE in the program development?
Page 25, under the yellow tab, under the yellow tab, Senator Booth.
I think we were talking about yesterday, you wanted to add one person to the program services. What number was it?
Mr. Chair, Senator Yee, we completed the walkthrough of Package 101, which is on 9 positions.
Mm-hmm.
And then Mr. Scott just briefly discussed Package 102, which is really tied to the $196 million bonding package. That's 7 additional positions.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that wrapped up our discussion of the program option packages under program services.
Oh, I remember what my question was regarding 102. I said if we limit the bonding to what it is, the session, to is it $45 million in bonding and $80 million in Oregon Bond Bank, what would the interest earning be, and how much, how many positions would that fund?
Mr. Chair, Senator Yee, we don't have the answer to that yet. We will provide you with that answer.
Oh, how long would it take to have that answer? Because it will tell us how much funding is available.
I think we can do it by Monday.
On Monday? Uh-huh. Because I asked that question last Friday.
Right, and I believe they indicated that it's a pretty complicated scenario that they have to go through. So, I think they, indicated it was going to be several days.
Mm-hmm. Because I thought you have a model, and all you do is send in different numbers.
Not quite that simple.
Mr. Chair, Senator Yee, I've been asking that same question myself. I keep hoping that it will become simpler to recalculate the model, but unfortunately it isn't. While we do have a model, it's not entirely computerized, and there are quite a number of manual adjustments that have to be made in order to figure out the calculation that you're talking about. I think I indicated yesterday that we could accomplish part of the fund shift in 090. What we don't have the answer to is how much of it, but some portion of that $3.5 million we could still do under the scenario that you're talking about. We would need Package 101 still. We would not need Package 102 under that scenario.
Mm-hmm. But you give us some numbers.
We will give you some explicit numbers on how much of Package 090 we could do, and therefore how big a problem you'd have with the current lottery allocation.
Moving on to film and video, that's the a yellow tab, and I believe we are...
First yellow tab toward the back, after the green tab. And you can go to the last page.
You're going the wrong direction. Okay. After the last
green tab.
First yellow tab. Okay.
I
have to
go get some.
That's a problem.
You're almost out of here.
This is the last time I present 3 bills for any single session. That's all I've got is 3 bills out there. The only thing I want to do is just amend them and hear them and amend them and hear them. Easy.
We are on the crosswalk for film and video, which I believe Lisa Pearson is going to do.
Okay, and can you help me order that tab?
It's the first yellow tab after the last green tab. So work backwards. There you go.
First yellow tab, last green tab.
There you go.
All right, thank you. Excuse me, Lisa, please proceed.
Mr. Chair, members of the subcommittee, my name is Lisa Pearson with the Department of Administrative Services. Since everyone is on that last page in that tab for film and video, the current service level for this program began with a legislatively approved budget of $948,788 total fund dollars. Really, the only thing that happened in this budget was inflation, and it was standard inflation. And that brings us to a total of $972,508.
And there are no policy officer packages for this.
Are there any questions relative to the film and video office? Senator Yee is recognized.
So how many filmmakers came to Oregon this current biennium? I mean, how much investment did they make in Oregon?
I believe they reported on that and handed some material out. It's probably in that voluminous stack of stuff that we've got. It's because we had testimony from the film and video office.
I remember that there were six, and I wasn't here for the entire testimony. There were six, I think six, as I recall, six or eight major shootings in Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
The major shootings was something over $2.5 million or something like that. Very tall. Mr. Mark Strickland, I believe, is the writer.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, we don't have that information in the book, but I believe that Mark presented it. We'll make certain that you have it and let you know where it is, or get you another copy or make sure that you have that information.
Do you have follow-up? How many jobs were created from these investments?
Mr. Chair, Senator Yee, I don't believe that that's a measure that they keep track of. They keep track of the amount invested and the dollars spent. There are essentially the filming tends to be temporary employment, and I think, you know, analytically you might be able to convert it into job equivalence, but as far as I know, I haven't seen any numbers like that. What they do keep track of is the amount invested by the film companies that they serve.
I think, Senator Yee, that one of the things that my recollection is that Mr. Strickland reported to us was that they expend a good deal of money and resources within the community, and that the jobs were largely temporary jobs. Excuse me. That they were not, and there was rather substantial amounts paid out. Let's see. We had testimony here. Okay. There's a total of 12,000 calls each year, ranging, asking about film offices and those kinds of things. I have since met with.
Including their evaluation.
Mm-hmm. Did they give a prediction? Another question, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Yee.
Did they give us a prediction how much investment do they anticipate will happen here in Oregon? From the film and video industry?
Let's see. We estimate total direct revenue out of state productions for 9901 will total approximately $61 million. Revenue comes from data provided directly from the various production companies. Additionally, Willamette University conducted an economic impact survey of our office to establish an economic multiplier of 2.8 times for each out of state production dollar spent in Oregon. So that would be something in the vicinity of about $150 million. Let's see, a copy of the study has been provided within this packet.
What is the face look like?
The study you had, Senator Yeager.
I think he's using some testimony.
That which you have in your hand.
Yes. Is this the one, Mark Strickland's testimony?
Yes, that's it exactly, Senator. And it's, I think, about the second page from the end. According to alignment, here's as to the extras. They gave us testimony as to the extras. According to the same study by Alignment University, 4.7% of the above $170 million returned to the economy in the form of tax revenue. $8 million in revenue direct to the state treasury between 1990 and 1901.
Mm-hmm.
Translates into an 8.4-1 return on investment from the Oregon Film and Video Office.
I mean, 2.8, multiple of 2.8 for each other state dollar spent in Oregon.
Also, Senator, if you look on page, following page 4 under the Film and Video tab, you're, I believe, at that tab right now.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. After page 4, there's a summary there. But after page 4, if you look in the lower right-hand corner,
mm-hmm.
The film industry continues to make a positive contribution to Oregon's economy. The economic impact from out-of-state productions alone in 1999 and 2000 is estimated to be $140 million. Based on a Willamette University study, the projected $50 million in direct spending from out-of-state production in Oregon in 1999 and 2000 generated approximately $2.3 million in revenue.
Do they have a prediction for next biennium?
I met with Mr. Strickland, and he had no reason to believe that it would do anything other than probably get better. Because California is where the primary studios are set up, and Oregon now has within our infrastructure, there are some sound studios
mm-hmm.
that are being established. I understand there's one in Medford, and there's one now on the campus at the University of Oregon. And these sound studios for specialized effects are somewhat of an attraction to these companies, and recognize Oregon's strategic location between Hollywood to the south and Canada to the north.
Mm-hmm.
Canada being the big attraction, over $10 billion
mm-hmm.
of movies, where we're doing $140 million. Canada is doing many times that much money. And over $10 billion in movies in Canada. And the reason is that Canada is offering some rather attractive credits for these folks to go off actual tax credits
mm-hmm.
to produce these, basically abroad, these films abroad. So Oregon is kind of uniquely positioned halfway in between. And if we can, and I visited briefly with Senator Carnival about this, because one of the folks who is assisting in this is a lady from Eugene who is a personal friend of Senator Carno, a lady by the name of Carolyn Chambers, and they're encouraging the film and video industry here within Oregon, making a lot of infrastructure investments in the private sector, and I'd like to do whatever I could to encourage it, including the offering of a possibility of tax credits, and have I think there's a Senate bill that actually does exactly that.
Mm-hmm. I think it's a buyer's bill.
I think it is indeed the mm-hmm. buyer's bill. Senator Buyer's bill. That's exactly right.
Mm-hmm.
So if there was any way we could encourage that, we want to do it. So there's every indication that the 8 plus to 1 would be continued, and we should try and enhance it perhaps through other credits.
Mm-hmm. I, I have another question, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Yee?
I appreciate Chairman's memory being so good. He remembers the amount of dollars invested and the return on investment. I just want to know how many states do this by contract and how many states actually have their own department.
I asked Mr. Strickland that.
Yeah. I believe he testified that most states have film and video offices.
Mm-hmm.
And of
but
the states...
I want to know how many states. He said the larger states contract them out.
Oh, did he?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I didn't remember that.
Yes. Maybe after the meeting he said something like that.
Oh, okay. Mr. Scott, you...
Listen, Mr. Chair, my recollection of his testimony was that he said that every state has some kind of an office. Many of them contract for additional services beyond the ones that are provided by the state, the official state office. But I think he said every state does it. We'll double-check with him and let you know if that's not accurate.
Yes. And I think after the meeting, we talked to him also.
Yes, ma'am.
And I think he said some of the larger states have contractors.
I followed up on that conversation mm-hmm. with, and he did discuss that with me at a later time. That contracting is not widely used.
Mm-hmm.
That he couldn't identify any states that contract out the service that we have within state economic development or whatever is a branch of the state government to do the film and video work. But I recall it, just as the Director Scott has indicated, that some states do contract out for specialized projects needing special contracts to use the national arches or some other kinds of things that they have within cities to get through all the hoops. But then I did a study I was provided the study by the folks in Eugene showing how other states attract film and video people to the states, and there's only two states that offer. Senator Byers' bill would offer a total reward of $2 million if we could come up with $2 million in general fund. But there's only two other states that offer any kind of a financial incentive that is direct cash to bring the film and video productions into those states, the Midwestern states, as I recall, and that the rest of the states who did offer any kind of investment or incentive to invest offered basically reductions in either sales taxes, use taxes, or a reduction in motel taxes after 30 days or 31 days.
Mm-hmm.
So they were basically based upon tax, sales and use taxes was the incentive. Neither of which does Oregon have, and as a state, we do not presently have a statewide hostelry tax that could be reduced uniformly as an incentive to bring movie and video productions to the state.
But we do have hotel motel taxes.
Local ones, not statewide
mm-hmm.
at this particular point, Senator. And that was, to my recollection, and going down, there's over 40 states that provide some incentive of one kind or another, which Oregon has none at this particular point, as I recall, none whatsoever. And I had Ed Warner from Legislative Revenue do just a little bit of analysis to find out how many companies
mm-hmm.
Do business in the state of Oregon under the service industry code of filming and videos and how much they actually expend and gross in Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
And I do have that information with the Senator Lee Byers bill.
Mm-hmm.
So it's still in the concept stages, but I think it's a very good thing for us to continue to look at. I think, again, there was no indication that we wouldn't continue to anticipate what we would continue to receive 8-plus times return on our investment back into the general funds.
It seems that recreation industry is not affected by the slowing of the economy. Is that what you're saying?
Well, you know, any time that you can bring films and videos that are of national and international acclaim
mm-hmm.
to a state, then it seems like, and I think Representative Johnson's had some of these and been directly involved with some of them. She's one of the stars, as I recall, in the Vernonia incident. Wince.
Great film.
We rented it over at the beach house, and we got 4 extra copies.
That's not true, because you couldn't have watched it and lived. It's that awful.
Since we have a quorum present, I would like to get to this grant application so we can get that out today.
Did you have further questions, Senator Yee, in that regard?
Well, I'd just like some information, how many contract out and how many...
We'll get that information
have
from
the department.
Yeah. Okay. With that, we're going to go ahead and close our... temporarily close our public hearing on 5510 and open up a work session on the Economic and Community Development Department federal grant application request.
Do you want to give an overview of the grant?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, the department is seeking approval, legislative authorization to...
One moment. You do have a packet in front of you that has the letter and DAS analysis and NELICO recommendation attached. Sorry.
Thank you.
This is all we're doing is seeking approval to apply for the grant. We'll seek limitation later if we're successful in achieving the grant and if we determine we need the limitation. The after the Congress approved a large package for dealing with what's called the National Fire Plan, and that involves a number of different categories of grants that can be made to states and to local entities for a variety of things having to do with prevention of future losses from forest fires. There are significant funds available in Oregon for some of it's available directly to the state Department of Forestry for assistance to communities and private lands in fire prevention, some for volunteer fire equipment and so on, but there's a whole category of assistance for communities to do outreach. We have there are a number of different kinds of things that people are proposing to do here. We've been working closely with both the Forest Service and the Oregon Department of Forestry to see what, if any, role they want us to play in this. At their request, we're seeking a $250,000 grant, which is the maximum that's available from these grants for one portion of the of that, which would be to coordinate efforts to develop or accelerate the development of markets for small dimension lumber and other materials that would, or small dimension trees and other materials that would be coming out of the forest. And what we're seeking it for is we aren't far enough along yet to know if we would be seeking either limited duration positions or consulting or contracted assistance to coordinate that activity with a variety of people that are here. I have with me Jennifer Allen of our staff who has been working on this, and she can help answer any questions you have.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, Representative Johnson, recognized.
I want to make sure that I understand this. Is this a salvage wood program so that you're taking burned over lumber and doing something with it?
It's actually Representative... Sorry, I'm Jennifer Allen, Sustainable Business Liaison with the Oregon Economic and Community Development Department. Mr. Chairman, Representative Johnson, it's actually proactive management in many cases of the federal forest lands to remove wood, which creates a fuel load in those forests, which contributes
to the possibility of having some destructive forest fires in that area, so it's not necessarily going into a burned-over area. It could be going in and managing some of the understory in order to reduce the fuel loading.
Follow-up, Representative Johnson.
Thank you, and I know Senator Klarna will join me in this question because the two of us routinely drive the Santa Ym, which is an area devastated by disease. Why is OECDD able to get into the salvage and preventative harvesting business when other natural resource agencies have been shut out by a plethora of federal regulations? What's so special about what you're doing that allows you to do this?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Johnson, we are working with a number of other partners in this. As Mr. Scott mentioned, the Department of Forestry, the Forest Service, nonprofits, and Green Sustainable Northwest, and regional groups like the Lawler Resources, to work with the federal agencies to, in response to the recognition that not managing that land for and allowing that fuel load to accumulate contributes to the possibility of some devastating fires. I'm sorry if that didn't answer your question.
One more follow-up.
Sure.
I hope that this money is passed through, because I think we've been in this very room for the last 3 weeks struggling with what the business of the department is. And to now suddenly find you guys in the forest management arena is sort of startling to me. And if you're applying for the grant, given the unique characteristic of the agency, and you're able to acquire this money and pass it through to those agencies charged with managing our forests, I'm very supportive of that. If this is going to be a new business endeavor on behalf of OECDD, I'm not going to be a very enthusiastic supporter.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I need to clarify this. I had a horrible time figuring this thing out before I brought it to you. And the reason is that the federal national fire plan is extremely broad in its scope. There is a very large piece of it that does go to the natural resource agencies, but there is a component of it that is involved in the community partnership, development, economic development aspect of, for example, as they mentioned, harvesting small diameter trees and finding secondary products for that. That is, developing a market and marketing those products instead of, you know, simply burning them. And it is that narrow piece that the department is applying for. It is not forest management. That is being done by the natural resource agencies.
Representative Johnson, want to follow up?
Last one. When you say developing a market, that sort of puzzles me too, because I think there are at least four of us here at the table, perhaps all of us, who have had markets closing down in our communities that are already established companies that can't get any diameter wood, and they have on their own initiative looked for other markets. And I would hate to see the state of Oregon going out and creating markets that haven't existed when we have existing sawmills that are struggling, and they'll take a tree that big around right now. So I would like to leave this room with some assurance that we're going to be helping our mills that are desperate for wood and not out creating new markets somewhere.
The grant, Mr. Chair, members, the grant is very, very specific that this is to be a locally driven process. It is my understanding that it is the intent of the department to act as a partner with local companies to ensure that what exists is enhanced, but to use the forest resources under the direction given in this federal plan.
Representative Smith is recognized.
Thank you, Chair Butler. On behalf of the citizens of Grant County, may God bless you. This is just a tremendous opportunity for the citizens of that county. What I'd be interested in knowing is the state the only eligible applicant, or can counties or other local jurisdictions also make application?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Smith, other entities can and are going forward to seek some of this funding, and we've been, again, working in together to coordinate and make sure that...
Okay. Follow up. Thank you, Chair. I would request that your department send this out to the counties of Baker, Grant, Crook, Wheeler, and anyone else that wants to add to the list, and I hope you'll share this information with them and firsthand explain how the program works. And I'm going to send a letter out to them letting them know that this information is coming. Thank you.
Well, through your regional development officers, is that how you'd anticipate that, Jennifer?
Yes, that's true.
Follow up now, Representative Johnson again.
We're looking at a maximum universe of 36. Will you send it to all of them?
Well, your county has mostly sagebrush, so.
35.
Take a few cents there on Senator Carnell?
Oh, I was just going to comment when she said 36 counties. There are 31 counties that were supposed to receive federal timber receipts, which we're probably not receiving. They'll probably be distributed statewide. But there were 31 counties, so I would think there's at least 31 counties that would be interested in.
And I just wanted to make sure, to make sure I don't pass some. I mean, as long as everybody's got a dog in this fight, technology for small diameter wood market, does sagebrush qualify, as you know, for small diameter wood market?
I'm not sure at this moment, but I will look into it.
We do have a lot of juniper, however, and I know that there have been juniper. That pulp on the juniper has been a resource for us. So. Within Niagara County. Are there other questions? If not, Lisa? I'm sorry, did you?
Oh, I was going to move. We should hear from the staff first, though. I apologize.
Mr. Chair, members of the subcommittee, I'm Lisa Pearson with the Department of Administrative Services. We recommend that the subcommittee approve the request to apply for the grant.
And Robin?
Mr. Chair, members, LFO recommends approval with the understanding that if the grant is approved, the department will return for the federal funds expenditure limitation and will provide detail on how the match requirement will be met at that time.
You've heard the recommendation of Legislative Fiscal Office to approve the request. And I return to get the expenditure limitation question. Representative Senator Yee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. When they come back and ask for increase in spending limitation, we'd like to hear a plan how this money is going to be used, because this looks like it's very, very broad. Right here it says focus on technology, on work, on market enhancement, on workforce training, and training to help them get federal grants, and for how to do forest field treatment and restoration. It covers so many subjects, so we want to know what your plan is to spend this money. After all, $250,000 is not going to cover all these subjects.
Thank you very much, Senator Yee. Are there other comments? Representative Smith now moves that we adopt the recommendations of the Legislative Fiscal Office. Are there any objections? Hearing and seeing none, we will go ahead and approve that request. Now, does this go to full?
It does. The recommendation is to move it to full with a
do approve the request. So we would go ahead and ask. Let's see, Senator Yee, would you like to carry that as full?
I'm glad to.
Thank you very much, if you would.
I'm one of the 36 counties, and I need help.
It'd be inappropriate for Sagebrush County to do that.
Right.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Ms. Allen. I appreciate it. With that, we will then go ahead and close the work session on the grant application and reopen the public hearing on 5510.
And I believe, Mr. Chair, that we are now ready to move to the Tourism Commission, and that's the second yellow tab. And again, the crosswalk is at the back.
I had a great note in my book as we went through the Tourism Commission that we ought to produce a million labels that says product of Oregon, and just start putting it on everything. Please, Mr. Scott.
Chair. I'll walk through the current service level, and then Mr. Stout will be talking about the policy packages and briefly describing or recapping what the money is spent on in this program. If you are on the right page, we started with a legislatively approved budget, which was $6.7 million total funds. There were personal service roll-up costs, which mainly were the salary plan, cost of living adjustments from the current biennium, biennialized for a full biennium. The essential packages include the standard vacancy savings calculation, standard inflation at 2.5%, and there was a decrease in state government service charges. That brings us to a current service level of $6.8 million.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, the first program option package, I think, is going away, so we can ignore that. I think this is built in another place.
Which one is that, the director's class?
It says provide fund balance for anticipated cost of living and benefits.
Okay, thank you.
And I think LFO Administrative Services have agreed that that's an error, that shouldn't be there.
Yes, we're behind the Oregon Tourism Commission tab,
right?
And it's the very last page under that.
Fully organized.
Right before the Oregon Commission.
Thank you. Thank you.
The option package that is in the governor's recommended budget, the $1.6 million package for the Agriculture Tourism Brand Oregon Marketing Initiative, I believe Todd Davidson discussed with you at some length when he was here. I understand there have been quite a few discussions about what may happen with that that I'm not completely up on, but I think the package as it was originally submitted is no longer really being seriously considered, but there is some work going on for a different version of it that some of you may be aware of. The base budget of $6.8 million is broken down. The big pieces of that is about $1.5 million is for salaries, another $1.6 million for advertising, roughly $1 million for fulfillment, which is following up on advertising, and $500,000 for the welcome centers, and $800,000 for publications. Those are the primary items in the budget. And what's happening now?
Are there any questions relative to the Oregon Tourism Commission? I want to share with you, if you'd like to see the artwork on my product of Oregon sticker, and I'm sincere when I say everything that's good needs to have a little sticker on it. And I've drawn it right here on my, it's this little tiny sticker of Oregon, a little tiny sticker of a picture of Oregon that says, product of Oregon. You just put on everything that's good.
Mr. Chair, that's the essential idea behind the option package that was submitted here for Brand Oregon.
Well, I've been stamping it on almost everything that came in and out of the room, and Senator Carnell didn't object, but Senator Yeet did, so.
Going on to the Oregon, or the Oregon Arts Commission.
Before we go on to the Arts Commission, I have a question on your organization chart, page 8. You have a travel. I saw an Asia travel trade manager. You have three FTE in your Tokyo office. So why do you need another Asia travel trade manager? Can't your Tokyo office do the travel?
Mr. Chair, Senator Yee, I think that's an error. At one time, we had talked about a position for Asia, or we had one person who covered both Asia and Europe, and we had added an unfunded position for Asia, which I think has now gone away, and the one that should remain here is Europe, not Asia. So we do have, there is one FTE in this department who is focused on European trade, and just as the senator suggests, the state investment in Asia is in the form of one of the people in the Tokyo office, as well as the Portland, Oregon Visitors Association has somebody devoted to Asia.
Travel trade, is that what that is? Within the travel industry, is that what we're talking
about? Instead of Asia, it should say Europe?
It should say Europe. I'm mm-hmm. sure that's correct.
Okay. Senator
Yee,
follow up.
You're here. Okay. Sorry, I'm...
That's all right, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, I can be corrected.
Well, no, actually, Mr. Scott, you did well. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, it was a program option package. I'm sorry, for the record, my name is Todd Davidson. I'm Executive Director of the Oregon Tourism Commission, and this was a program option package request of the last legislative session, which was approved as an unfunded position. What we did in lieu of that being an unfunded FTE within the Tourism Commission is we did partner with the Portland, Oregon Visitors Association, who did hire an Asian marketing representative, so that our staff person, because of the growth of international travel to the state of Oregon and the amount of work and effort we were putting into that, our staff person was enabled then to focus more on Europe, and our partners focus more on Asia. We do this collaboratively. We have a scheduled program of work together. But that, to clarify what was done with that position, Senator, we do rely a great deal on the Japan Representative Office for their assistance with marketing the state in Japan.
So this isn't a Europe?
No.
The position.
Mr. Chairman, that is not European position. Our individual on staff is cited on the organizational chart as the travel trade marketing manager. Her primary focus at this time is Europe because of our partnership with the Portland, Oregon Visitors Association.
Well, it doesn't say Asia. It's just travel trade manager.
We have a travel trade manager. Okay. That's correct, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Yee, does that clarify that?
Yes. I have another question.
Follow up, mm-hmm. Senator Yee.
So there are 10 FTE in this office, and you have a tourism manager, you have assistant manager, and then you have public relations specialist, tourism development manager. You have you have tourism development manager and travel trade manager. So what is the ratio of manager to staff here? Is it, you have so many managers here.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Yee, perhaps the confusion may result from the use of the word manager. I serve as executive director. We also have an assistant director. We would be the administrative staff. We have, in addition to that, we have the program staff, as you see articulated there, that are referred to as managers, the public relations manager, travel trade marketing manager, et cetera. And then we have, in addition to that, four additional support staff positions. But there are two administrative staff positions, the executive director and assistant director. However, I must hasten to add that both our assistant director, Julie Curtis, and myself do have programmary responsibilities. We are not sole administrative staff people. I oversee our advertising and marketing programs. Our assistant director, Julie Curtis, oversees our Welcome Center programs, research programs, and a host of others. So we also have program staff responsibilities as well.
But I'm just concerned that with an office of 10 FTE, you have manager, assistant manager, so the ratio is 1-5, and human resource is talking about reorganization, and their management to staff ratio is going to be about 1-15. So I just, you know, feel that it looks like the management to ratio is very small.
Mr. Chair, Representative Yee, Senator Yee, I'm sorry. We provided earlier in response to a question, I think from Senator Clarno, a list of ratios of supervisory staff to other staff in the department. And we included in that, I think, estimates, because most of our managers are, in fact, working managers who also have program responsibilities, estimates on an FTE basis of what those ratios are, and we'd be happy to find that for you and show it to you again.
Thank you. Representative Smith is recognized.
Thank you, Chair Butler. Bill, can you help reassure us, how do you know these folks overseas are doing their job? What mechanism do you have in place for them reporting back to you that we're not just paying for a vacation overseas?
Mr. Chair, Representative Smith, none of the people in the Tourism Commission staff are stationed overseas.
I thought there was a Europe, someone within your department who's stationed in Europe.
Mr. Chair, Representative Smith, maybe I should let Todd answer the
question. If I may, Mr. Chair, Representative Smith, we have no one that's on the state of Oregon payroll that is stationed in Europe. We have contractors in Europe that represent us there. We do have a travel trade marketing manager on our staff who has responsibilities for marketing Oregon in Europe and does attend travel trade shows and media showcases and the like in Europe, and they do return and submit reports to us on who they've met
That's
with.
That's what I want to get to.
Exactly. I understand. And the shows they've attended, the appointments that they've held, they're responsible for then working to provide us a report on how those results are tracked with both the media appearances in travel trade tour operator catalogs, et cetera. So we're given a full report upon their return of who they've met with and where they've been.
And that's, I assume, done on a regular basis.
It's done following, excuse me, Mr. Chairman and Representative Smith, it's done following every trip.
Thank you.
Yes.
And Representative Johnson.
Thank you, sir. Todd, as long as you're here and we're talking about visitors to our state, how is the Tourism Commission gearing up to deal with this, Clark?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Johnson, I'm glad we're having this conversation because we didn't have it when I was here on the Friday for the Ways and Means hearing. We have a couple of things in place for our Lewis and Clark celebration. Not nearly as much, though, as we would hope. But per the conversation you and I talked when we were together in Astoria during Secretary Norton's visit, we would like to see a stronger statewide movement for the Lewis and Clark, similar to what we had during the Oregon Trail Sesquicentennial. To the part of what we've done and are budgeting to do additional research on who's coming, why they're coming, what are the points of interest, and how can we best reach these folks? Where are they going to get their information? So we better know how to advertise and how to get information into the hands of the folks that are interested in traveling on Lewis and Clark types of vacations.
Thank you, Mr. Davidson, for throwing me that mushball answer, because now I can shamelessly promote one of my priority bills, which is a gubernatorial appointment of a Lewis and Clark Commission, so that we can bring some level of focus to the fact that we're going to have this onslaught of visitors coming to the state, and the fact that I don't think as a state we have necessarily had the kind of infrastructure that some other states have had, and I'm hoping to raise the profile of what promises to be a pretty remarkable experience for Oregon.
Representative Smith is in the majority party, and he said that he'd just taken that bill over.
Just to show you what a great guy I am, as long as it gets done, he can have it.
I compliment your
effort. Actually, Representative Smith signaled to me, and I'll signal back we'd like to sign on.
Yep, that's right.
and Senator Yee.
Oh, we all want something.
As great, as fast as I could drag it out of LC, I'll hustle up here.
Let's do that. I think that's a great one for this committee. Thank you very much. Representative Johnson, follow up.
Do you have a response to the creation of the Lewis and Clark Commission?
Just that you would find the Tourism Commission supportive of that kind of an effort.
Those were the words I yearned to hear.
Yes, and I apologize if you felt my earlier answer was mushball in any way.
Oh, no, mushball is good.
Mushball was good.
It gave me a chance to shamelessly advocate for my bill.
Oh, well, then you're welcome.
No, you handed me the segue into which I could promote my legislation.
What year is the Lewis and Clark celebration?
I'm happy to defer to you, Representative.
Actually, it's a multi-year celebration, with Oregon being identified as one of four national venues. And the visitors will begin coming in 2000, and well, actually, they're probably coming now. but they will reach their apex between 2003 and 2005. With as many as, I've heard the number bounced all over the place, but it could be as high as 1 million visitors, could it not? Or?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Johnson, there are two research reports, Representative Johnson, that I would like to provide you. That one that we collaborated on, there was also some focus groups that were done by the state of Washington and others on where the interest is and how many visitors may potentially come. State of Montana has done some very thorough research on this. And so those estimates are not out of line with, for example, what the state of Montana has estimated may travel. What we're seeing is that those visitors may be dispersed because there's 17 states involved in the Lewis and Clark celebration, where we had seven that were involved in the Oregon Trail sesquicentennial. So they may be highly dispersed. However, we do know that if once again the state of Oregon, especially the community of Astoria, are the end of the Lewis and Clark commemoration because of the presence of Fort Clatsop. And we have several other sites along the way that are already established, such as the Columbia Gorge Discovery Center in the Dalles. So her, Representative Johnson's estimates are not out of line at all with some of the research that we've read.
I would only add, again, shamelessly promoting it, that it is not insignificant that Secretary of the Interior Norton chose as her first public appearance after her appointment to visit Oregon, and specifically to visit Fort Clatsop. And I think that this is a great opportunity for Oregon to showcase not only our natural beauty, but our hospitality and our willingness to make a visitor experience here memorable and repeatable.
Obviously, Secretary Norton had not read the Lewis and Clark journals of what they really felt about Fort Gladney.
Hey, we're hoping there's another million people that haven't either.
It was sunny, the food was great, they had a wonderful time.
They put all of those things into the office.
Well, I want to take this opportunity to tell you about my bill. That promotes the cross-continental automobile race from New York to Portland, and the last leg of it is on San Diego Wagon Road outside of Sweet Home. So that's part of the...
But not involving Lewis and Clark, right?
But it's part of the Lewis and Clark celebration.
This is the centennial of
yes,
Lewis and
1903.
Clark.
1903. So part of the celebration.
From New York
to Portland.
And then down to Sweet Home.
Yes, the last leg is in Sweet Home. So I have a bill to promote the cross-continental automobile race, which is part of the celebration of Lewis and Clark expedition.
Mr. Chair, I want to ask Senator Plano, were they in band at all? Did they?
I was just sitting here thinking, I would like to tell you all that I don't remember the 1903.
You can sign on to my book. Okay. Oh, dear.
I can remember it.
Was there something in the lunch today?
Any further questions for the relative to the Oregon Tourism Commission? If you'll just, we'll come back with it when we come to workstation. But we do need some information relative to the manager ratio, manager to staff ratio.
Mr. Chair, as I said, I think we've already provided that. We'll make sure.
Yeah, for senators, for senators. Thank you very much.
So with that, Mr. Chair, I believe we are on the Arts Commission, which is the third yellow tab, and again, the last page.
We're going to get through this today.
I hope so.
Yes.
Okay. Mr. Chair, members, the current service level began in the legislatively approved budget for 1999-01 at about $4.6 million. There were some personal service rollout costs, again related to the cost of living adjustments provided during the current biennium, and biennializing those for the full biennium coming up added new funding. Essential packages include the standard vacancy savings calculation. There were a couple of phase outs. One was for the Arts Reaching Youth program. That was one-time funding. And also a phase out of the Cultural Task Force, which was also one-time funding. Inflation was standard at 2.5%, and there was a state government service charge decrease. bringing us to a current service level of $4.2 million total funds.
Are there any questions? And then there is one program option package.
Are we in tourism or in
Mr. Chair, the program option package is for the Arts Commission's budget has held the budget for the consultants that have been used to support the cultural task force that was authorized by the 1999 legislative session. As you know, there are some bills related to that and creating the cultural trust, but the recommendation is that task force be continued, and this $100,000 is to continue the task force.
We've spent $100,000 in the last biennium.
Mr. Chair, yes, I believe we will.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, is there a bill to continue the funding, or does it take a bill?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I'm not sure where it is, but the last bill that I saw actually moved the task force to the Secretary of State, State's office, so I don't know what the status is right now.
To the Secretary of State.
That's my understanding.
If you say you will have expended the $100,000, is it? It's obligated at this point, Director Scott, and do you have unexpended?
No, Mr. Chair.
Mr.
Members,
this is new money, right?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, members, you see a phase out of $150,000.
Right.
That was the money that was authorized, plus there was some expenditure limitation granted by the emergency board.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what will be expended this biennium, and so it's being backed out of their budget so that it's because it's not carrying forward. And then there's a program option package that would restore funding, and that's the $100,000. However, I'm not sure what the status is of this issue right now.
But in the $4,606,000, there was $150,000, and it was expended by the department.
And the between the $4,606,000 and the $4,238,000,
right. Yes. And the $4,606,000 legislatively adopted budget for 9901, it included the $150,000, which has been either expended or obligated for expenditure by the department.
That's correct.
Good. Thank you, and Representative Johnson.
My point of clarification on the new money, the $100,000, is that what you don't know the status of? I thought we moved that out of the DAS budget and not into the Secretary of State, but into the Governor's office.
Well, that's my confusion, Representative Johnson. I'm not sure. We would have to, before we go to work session, we would need to verify what that was. But the $100,000 that you see here was planned as a $100,000 general fund in the DAS budget to be then forwarded to the Economic Development Department.
For whatever value it is, Mr. Chair, my recollection was that there had been two requests for funding within the DAS budget. One of them had been the World Affairs Council for $150,000. One of them was the Cultural Trust for $100,000. And I believe that both of those were moved out of the DAS budget and into the governor's budget.
You will have the governor's budget in front of some of you, I think, pretty soon in general government.
Senator Connell's committee. Yes.
So.
I don't know that, I think, Representative Johnson, that it was just moved out of the DAS budget and with the proposal that it be taken up in the governor's budget.
Ah, so it may be lurking.
I think that's the state of confusion where we're at is that,
right.
That it was not approved in the one budget. That's assumed that it would be picked up somewhere else, depending upon the level of angst and commitment that there is within the executive offices for that.
Mr. Chair, I checked the budget report for the Department of Administrative Services before I came over, and you're correct. It was just moved out that there wasn't a specific mention of where it might go.
Right. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I was wrong.
Thank you. Senator Yee?
I have a question on manager to staff ratio in Arts Commission office. They have Arts Director, Commission Director, and they have Assistant Director. and this is an office of five FTE. So we are talking about a 1-to-1.5 ratio, 2 managers and 3 staff. Is this a 1-to-1.5 ratio?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, part of the reason that this ratio, if you want to put it that way, looks this way, is that these are programs where the management staff are performing program services. That is, there's a lot of grants, there's a lot of those kinds of activities that the agency is involved in. So it's not like a clerical operation where you have a supervisor and a bunch of subordinates. So, I mean, that's one of the reasons that you've got the titles that you've got in the and what looks like a disproportionate relationship here.
Did you have any question on that, Sonny?
Oh, I just want to say then the assistant director shouldn't even call assistant director. He or she should be called another coordinator because there are two coordinators already. Maybe they can be called leading coordinator, lead coordinator, if they're doing program work.
Right.
I think the title just gives you the impression they're managing.
Yes, I believe there's some confusion there.
Are there further questions relative to the Arts Commission budget?
There's a, I just want to say there are amazingly large number of managers, assistant managers, and coordinators in this department. I have quite a few more questions, but it belongs to the other division, so I'll just submit my question.
I just had one observation. Thank you, Senator. Mm-hmm. Just one observation relative to the Arts Commission, and I, as we go through, I know that there are a lot of divisions that have had very small increases over the years. But the Arts Commission appears for the 95 biennium, 97 biennium, 99 biennium, now for the 01 biennium, over a period of 4 biennium, a total of 30.54% increase. And certainly a portion of that reflects the good times that Oregon has had. But have we taken on additional responsibilities in the Arts Commission? I would guess so. That's probably partially reflected in what that is.
A large chunk of that, Mr. Chair, is federal funds.
I see.
If they receive funds from, the name escapes me right now, but the federal arts program, which are then distributed as grants.
Mr. Chair, the members of the committee, there are two explanations for the increase from 95-97 to 97-99. One is that there was a program initiated by the legislature, not by the Arts Commission, that was called Arts Reaching Youth, that was added to the department. There was about $500,000 of that increase. The other thing was that the U.S. Congress significantly increased the budget for the National Endowment for the Arts, which passes through on a formula basis to the state.
Okay, thank you very much. Representative Johnson?
Forgive me if you said this. What would be the relationship between the Arts Commission and the trust fund?
Mr. Chair, Representative Johnson, the trust, of course, covers a number of subjects besides arts, so other aspects of culture, and the idea is that that each of the Heritage Commission and so on would have some representation, or that field would have some representation in the cultural trust, but the cultural trust would not duplicate the kind of work that the Commission on the Humanities and the Heritage Commission and the Arts Commission do. So the cultural trust would have the grant making function that's laid out there, and the idea is that those would be closely coordinated.
Are you close enough to the Cultural Trust Fund to know, are those commissioners gubernatorial appointees?
Mr. Chair, Representative Johnson, my recollection is that they're mostly gubernatorial appointees, but they, I think there may be some legislative appointees as well.
Thanks.
I think progress board, we're ready to move on again. Next yellow tab, last page.
The current service level was developed starting with a legislatively approved budget for 1999-2001. That was about $1.2 million total funds. There was some personal service roll-up costs, again, mainly associated with the salary plan adjustments that were made for the current biennium and needed to be biennialized for the next biennium. Essential packages include vacancy savings calculations that are standard. There was a phase-out of an emergency board related to Senate Bill 555. Those were some consulting services provided to local governments, and that was a one-time expense. Inflation was standard at 2.5%, and there was, again, a state government service charge decrease that brings the current service level to $1,189,806 total funds.
Mr. Chair, the program option package is $100,000, which is essentially for continuation of the for another round of the adult literacy survey, which was first done in the early 90s, and it's being done again on a national level, and Oregon participated the first time with about 14 other states. They're hoping to recruit many more states into it so that we can assess how we're doing on our goal of being the best, having the best educated workforce in the country.
That encompasses at least a couple of our benchmarks at that point. Senator Yee is recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I asked for information regarding how many households did a survey in 1990 and how many are they going to survey this time and how much was spent at the last survey and how much is it at this survey. I think there's some federal money that will be matching this $100,000, isn't it? It isn't shown in the budget here. I have not received those information yet.
Mr. Chair, Senator, I thought the progress board had supplied it, but we will check and make sure you have it.
Yes, because follow-up. Because in my office, he said to me they will survey 400 households, but in the committee, he said 1,000, and I don't understand the difference. I suppose the difference is reduce the percentage of margin of error, but for that little difference in margin of error, I just wonder if it's worth it to increase from 400 to 1,000.
Mr. Chair, Senator Yee will make sure you have an answer right away.
Representative Smith is recognized.
Thank you, Chair Butler. Senator, yeah, kind of spurred a question I had. Are we missing out on opportunities to access federal dollars because of the state's inability to put in seed money? And let me give you an example. I know the U.S. Department of the Treasury has a program very similar to the intermediary lending program offered by USDA, and yet it just requires seed money. And I'm curious if there's anyone in the department that looked through the federal record and sees what programs are out there that could bring dollars to the state of Oregon that we're not accessing that we could. And maybe that's a question I should put in writing and have someone respond back, but I know there are programs out there.
Mr. Chair, Representative Smith, I think the answer is pretty straightforward. We do not have a person who is really assigned on a systematic basis to identify federal resources. We do have a person on staff who, among other things, has a primary duty of relations with the federal government, which in many cases includes, you know, identifying identifying and accessing program resources that may be available. We haven't undertaken the kind of, I guess I'd say, the method that you're talking about, but it's probably a good question about whether that's something we ought to be doing.
Well, Chair, the reason I ask that question is the Oregon Economic Development Department at the time invested $50,000 in I'm going to use a case back home, Morrow Development Corporation, to start an intermediary relending program. Since that time, that $50,000 has been leveraged into $4.7 million over 5 years. And I know there's a pot of money out there that the United States Department of the Treasury has that's very identical to that, and we're missing that opportunity because these community development corporations don't have those dollars to access that program.
Mr. Chair, we'd be happy to follow up with you because we may have the ability to supply some of those resources through our regional investment program or otherwise.
We should pursue that because it's an excellent opportunity for our smaller community.
Thank you. Representative Johnson?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just following on what Representative Smith said, I wonder statewide how many opportunities are lost for want of match. I know that with the FAA, the match for airports is $9 federal to $1 state dollar, and there have been instances where federal grants have been left wanting because of lack of local funds. I think given that the new Department of Aviation is going to be administering some federal money now on behalf of the FAA that doesn't have staff to do it in Oregon, we may have access to more money. But to let $9 federal escape for lack of $1 state dollar seems almost criminal in the instances that that's happened.
Thank you. Director?
So how much is the federal money that will match the $100,000 general fund for the
Mr. Chair, Senator Yee, we'll get you that answer.
Mm-hmm. I believe it's in the Office of the Community Colleges and Workforce Development, but I don't have dollars.
I think I saw something like $200,000.
Count for it here. It's accounted for.
Right.
Thank you.
I have another question.
Further questions, Senator?
Regarding the progress board, now that all the agencies are asked to provide performance measures, I see that they are gathering their own data and making their reports. I think Employment Division gave an abundance of performance measures. So does Transportation Department has pages and pages of performance measures. So my question is, if every department is collecting their own data, reporting on performance measures, so what does Progress Board do? Would that be a duplicative service if everybody is doing it already and they have to do it because legislature is asking for it? And Representative Johnson say, what cloud do you have to gather those information? And it seems to me the cloud rests in the legislature's hands. So when we ask for it, we get the data, we get the report. So what role does Progress Board play? Is that a duplication of effort?
Mr. Chair, Senator Yee, Progress Board really provides a framework not only for state agencies but really for local governments and lots of other people too, within which they can talk about how they can contribute to the benchmarks. What the Progress Board has been doing so far with state agencies, with ours and with transportation and others, has been to provide really a consulting service to help us figure out how to develop performance measures that will be within the framework of the benchmark and to help us get in touch with best practices on those things.
Mr. Chair, members, there is a performance measure database that is housed in DAS and will, I believe, form the basis of reporting in future biennia. That folks only began loading data into it
late last spring, and so there really wasn't an output for this session, but it is anticipated next session.
And I think that the Progress Board has been working closely with Legislative Fiscal and Administrative Services to develop that system and to try to come up with a system that can be uniform across state agencies and make that more comprehensive and comprehensible.
I just want to mention an example in the Human Resource Subcommittee, and they were telling us, I think about 26% of the youth are using, I can't remember exactly, using alcohol. And their goal was 26% in 2000. So I say if you already achieve I think percentage of not using was at I can't remember the percentage, say 80%. So they already achieved not using in 1998, but in 2000 they're still using the same goal of not using 80%. So I say, how come your goal is not higher than youth? Because the goal should always be better. But they say they are using benchmark's goal. Their own goal is much higher. So I think the benchmark and their own goals are not working together. So I think it's much better to let every department do their own data gathering and set their own goals and report to DAS. And DAS can coordinate and show a whole big picture rather than Progress Board doing something on their own and not working closely with the agencies. So I just feel that it's a duplication of effort.
Robin, would you like to respond to that?
Actually, it's kind of two different things. Performance measures relate to the specific functions that are performed by each agency.
Mm-hmm.
The Progress Board is a board consisting of the governor, is it the Secretary of State, and I can't remember who the members are, whose job it is to evaluate broad targets for the state of Oregon. It isn't an individual performance measure for each agency. It is a broad societal goal that they establish for the state and then report on each biennium, and that's, you know, the Oregon Shines report that you get each biennium. So state agencies attempt to tie their performance measures to those broad statewide goals where they are a contributor to achieving the statewide goals, but they aren't the same thing. And one other thing, DAS is collecting the data. It is not the Progress Board that is collecting data on individual state agency performance. That is being compiled at the Department of Administrative Services.
But I think the picture is made up of all our different departments, services, and performance, the whole big picture. So if we have all the departments' performance, why do we want to set different benchmarks that are already outdated anyway? We have up-to-date information from performance measures and all the state agency goals. So why do we need broad benchmarks that some of them are already outdated? I asked the department, how come your goal is the same as your performance 2 or 3 years ago? They say it's because that's the goal of the benchmark. So I think we should set our own goal up to what they can really perform and not use broad benchmarks that are not even up to date.
Do the benchmarks in some cases match the performance goals that we are, as you
they
said?
They don't match.
They're broad societal.
They're broad. Representative Butler, they're much broader.
Yeah.
And in only a few instances would any one individual agency be the sole measure of a benchmark or a sole contributor to a benchmark. Many of them cross a lot of state agencies, and it is an attempt to get an overall picture of the combined effort of state agencies towards goals that have been established, which is not to say that there shouldn't be specific performance measures in each agency budget. I mean, that's a different story. But you also need a sort of a broader picture of what's going on in the state, and that's what the progress board works on.
And they're not even up to date. I have to bring that example. I'll go dig out that data.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you. I recognize there are the benchmarks that we've been talking about, but for instance, the adult literacy survey. The adult literacy survey, which is part of the progress board's responsibility, again. Just because the progress board is making the application for it, they wouldn't have any responsibility to provide for the actual literacy of the state of Oregon, and to report on that goal is the entire state's responsibility to report on that goal. So we move the funding in here, but we don't expect the existence of the actual existence of the Oregon Progress Board doesn't depend upon the literacy report for Oregon as a whole.
I think community college has that information.
Exactly. The community colleges have a much larger role in Oregon's literacy than certainly the OECDD would do, and even its subset, that it being the Oregon Progress Board, which helps monitor those broad societal goals. Okay, with that, are there further questions for then this portion of the budget, the Oregon Progress Board? If not, we'll continue on.
And the last section, Mr. Chair, is the pass-through debt service budget.
The current service level was again developed starting with the 1999-2001 legislatively approved budget of about $10.3 million total funds. Actually, it's all lottery funds. Following that, there is an increase in the lottery bond debt service of about $10.2 million. That's for already issued bonds. This is not the new proposal, but already existing bonds that were issued. Essential packages include phase-ins for Senate Bill 710 projects that were specifically mentioned in Senate Bill 710 by the 1997 legislature. There's a distribution for the Jefferson County Airport, for the Coos County Natural Gas Pipeline, and for the Klamath Falls International Airport. That brings us to a current service level of $25 million approximately.
Mr. Chair, in terms of the program option packages, the $5.9 million would be the new debt service associated with the new lottery bonds to be issued, both the infrastructure package and the channel deepening bonds.
That would be 1 year's debt service, is that right?
That would be one biennium.
One biennium, not just 1 year.
So the first biennium's debt service, it would be higher in later biennium because
right.
The bonds would be outstanding for the full time.
Well, this is assuming that we agree with that $200 million lottery box. So if it's a different figure, then it will be a different debt service.
Right, and that has to be in the form of substantive legislation. Someone is willing, I would think, isn't it?
The bond package is in a actually there are two bills. There is the bill that authorizes the issuance, and then there's another bill that is for bonding, for all bonding in the state of Oregon.
Do we know where those were drilled and tested?
No, I do not.
Doris.
Mr. Chairman, so what's the difference between the two bills? You say one is issuance and one is bonded.
Yes, Mr. Chair. But there is a bill that has all of the bond authorization in it. The substantive bill authorizes the project for which bonds can be issued, or the types of programs for which the bonds can be issued.
Ms. Fenwell?
Yes, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. There are two, as Robin Lamont has stated, there are two bills that have the authorization for lottery bond financing. House Bill 2275 has been sent to Ways and Means. I don't believe it's been referred yet to a subcommittee, but it is here in Ways and Means waiting for a hearing. And that contains all of the lottery bond financing for what we have requested in our budget, as well as housing and channel deepening, and I believe Department of Environmental Quality. And then House Bill 28—there's another bill that has to do with estuary restoration, and that is House Bill 2683. It allows us to fill lottery bonds to finance estuary restoration costs for the state to match federal funding. And that's in Ways and Means also.
And I was also thinking of the debt. There is a debt authorization bill, and I can't remember. Maybe I was thinking of capital construction.
Could be.
Chair Butler.
Representative Smith is recognized.
Back on the funds, is that a fixed rate of interest? I know I've asked that question before.
Mr. Chair, Representative Smith, yes.
Would it be possible, I guess everybody else asked you a question, so I'm going to ask this as well. Would it be possible to get a breakdown to see what the cost of those funds are with the current interest rate versus where we were at the beginning of session? As a committee, we're nuts not to be moving forward on this as interest rates drop, because I'm assuming the price of that money drops as well. Or am I incorrect in that assumption that this is tied to a decrease in federal rate?
Mr. Chair, Representative Smith, the decrease in short-term rates precipitated by the Federal Reserve actions doesn't necessarily translate into a reduction in rates on kind of long-term bonds. But we'd be happy to provide you with kind of what the current rates on these bonds are now versus what they would have been at the beginning, and the estimate of today's rate versus what
it would
have been at the beginning of the
year. I've got to believe it's less today than it was 6 months ago.
In the last 10 days, it's actually increased.
Has it really?
There's an adverse.
Yes.
The market anticipates what's going to happen far enough in advance that even with the fifth downturn this year, that those rates have actually increased in borrowing.
Tax exempt finances?
Yes, it has been.
Yes, U.S. housing and exempt finance. Actually, Oregon bonds right now are not a very good investment because they don't move with the market.
Interesting.
One
more experience.
Eastern bonds got a little bit better. There's a lot to go.
Yes. Mr. Chairman, I want to know the $200 million lottery bet bond. Which bill is it in?
Mr. Chair, Senator Gee, I believe it's in House Bill 2275.
Mm-hmm. Well, because you mentioned there's another bill
there. Mr. Chair, I believe that's about $700,000 or $750,000 for the estuary.
That's correct, Mr. Chair. It's that bill is House Bill 2683, and it's for $750,000 plus the cost of issuance.
Mm-hmm. So this bill is in 2275. I mean, this bond back. Mm-hmm. Lottery back bonds.
I believe that completes our crosswalk. So,
thank you. With that, is there anything, Ms. Lamont, that you want to share with the committee?
Yes, you've got a couple of substantive bills in here tomorrow relating to the Department of Transportation. So unless the House goes long, it would probably be appreciated if you could all be here so that you can go into work session on the bill.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. There being nothing else, I'll declare the committee adjourned.
I'll just submit my